Yisham Yishviya Staf Lamed Beis. Mishnah continues discussion of which type of fruit can be eaten on the year of Shvias when they can be picked and eaten, even though they're not fully ripe yet. As we said yesterday in the Mishnah, that you can't waste anything, you can't waste any fruit, you only allowed to take it to eat. And therefore, what is the level, what is the stage when it's considered ripe enough that you're able to eat it, and that should be considered wasting Shvias? So this, the Gemara continues with this discussion that we had yesterday. Gemara discusses Seitzim. What about olives? Gemara says, yesterday we had grapes and figs, and now we're discussing Seitzim. Shechnisu Revius L'Saw. When they yield a quarter lug of oil per saw, that's the amount. When it reaches the size which a quarter of a lug of oil can be taken, you can extract it from these olives, that's the level where it could be eaten besoda. In order to be able to squeeze out from them a revius haluk shemen, that is the shear. But say biokol besad, a person can break them and eat them in the field. Same idea, you break them so they could. Says the derech hazeitzim lefatzam anatka. You take them out because it's so bitter. So you, my full decision is to break them open so that it would reduce some of the bitterness. To make it a little bit, the bitterness would go out. It'd be a little bit easier to eat. So then you would go out to go ahead and eat it in the field. Again, it's the very first stage of being ripe. Before that, it's wasting. You can't remove them, but at this level, it's still enough in the field that you can go eat it with your bread, and use it in the field. Now, that's as far as eating it. As far as anything else, using it any other way, that you can't do it. Okol besada, says the Marfoldo to point out. It's something that you can eat it in this stage. But to use it to the oil, which is also another thing, is to use it to anoint yourself, rub yourself with oil. So that ain't a rayin, ain't sakin but davish dakol zaka. That you can't do. It's not the way to do. That's not ray. We don't use it at this stage. It's not ray to do or put on yourself to love this stage that it's in right now. And therefore, even though besud that we're allowing you to eat it in this level of ripeness. However, you can't go ahead and use it to sock yourself, to anoint yourself, to spread on yourself. That even if you do it in the field, that would be considered still also to do. However, now they grow more, you let them ripe a little bit, get ripe a little bit more, now they can go ahead and they can yield a half a lug per saw, then you got to crush them and put your, you got to go ahead and suck beside, you got to even anoint yourself in the field. And do so in the field. Again, the diuk that the Mishon make, you can do it in the field, but in the house you can't do it. But to take it, to use it to suck in the house, yet that is only, it's still not right to use, it's not the level to bring to your house, that you can't do. When can you do that? Well, it says, only if ichlisu l'shalish. Now if they go ahead and they yield a third, says that, what do you mean a third? It says that Marfulda, Mimasha, Sidon Likonis, Lahaknas, Yizbasu, if you would let it ripe completely fully, it would bring out a large amount of oil. So here, if you did it where it brings out a third of it, then you're allowed to go ahead and even bring it into your house, and you can eat it in your house. At this point, you're allowed to go ahead and bring it into your house and eat it in your house. The Chemiotza, and a similar idea would be, where we had before, b'shashen ibud chayv l'maisvus. At this stage now, when it can reduces a third of the final, of what would be the final ripeness, then you now in the years, other years of shvias, you'd be allowed, you mechuyev now to take maaser from it at this point, just like we said in the Mishnah earlier. The same idea in the other years, you could do that. Now the shar kol peres ilon. What about all the other fruits of the trees? Which means other than what we said yesterday, which we discussed. Figs and grapes, and now we discussed olives. Other than these three, onosing ma'isus. Whatever their shear ma'isus, kakonos and l'shvias. So too is their time that they're ripe for shvias. The Mishnah doesn't go through their development stages, and they say whenever it's considered roi to use for ma'iser, that would be is the same level would be considered roi to use in shvias when you'd be allowed to go ahead and take it and eat it in your home. And we don't break down all the different specifics on each of these. The Mefarshim comment, the Mishnah comment, Kachanos on the Shvias, is Usul Ochlan called them Shigil Lasa Maisers. You can't go ahead and eat them before they come to this level, besides these three. Other Peros, we're not makir to them to eat any during Shvias year, unless they're in the same level of ripeness where you'd be able to take Maiser from. During the other years, that is the geder of when on the year of Shviyas you'd be able to go ahead and use it to eat and use it to eat it and bring it into your home to have any benefit from it, but either eating or even use it for anointing yourself or smearing on yourself would be the same halacha. Would have to be the other things would be other than these three would follow the formula of when something is mutter is Shviyas or not. That is the lashon of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara tries to understand. Seisim that we leave is so that we say you can go ahead and bring seisim olives in the fourth amount you're allowed to bring into your house when it's that amount, and there's only when it's a third can you go ahead and actually crush them and bring them into your house. So the Mishnah just tries to understand what do we talk about when it says a third. What's the third are we referring to? First it said in the first part it called look it says you called me you can bring a chatzi look. Then it goes ahead you bring into a quarter of a log or a chatzi look. Then when it comes to say a third, it doesn't tell you how much oil comes out. So what is the mishmei ma'al shlish? What's the meaning of a third? Does it mean a third of a look, or does it mean a third of the full ripeness that you'll have at when it's fully ripe? That's what the Gemara wants to know. So that's the Gemara's kashya. Where's the look? What it means to say is when it gives a look per se, that's what we're referring to a third. Doesn't mean it can't be where it says when it says a lug per oil, it refers to the Mishnah would tell us that they're talking about how much it would come out to bring. It must be that it gives at least more than a third, and the Gemara explains what's shlish. When it says what does the shlish mean, shlish lug, and then that what the Mishnah says a lug, kloy ma shlish lug hu velo shlish misa. It means a third of a lug and not a third of a saw. That's what the Mishnah tells you. Would be the that's the gemar bishul, and that's the amount that we say would be the shear that would be considered enough to be considered to bring it into your thing. That's the way the Moshe learns, and that's the way the Rosh Mislul learns. Miluk shal shemen, that's what we're talking about. The luk shal shemen is to bring it into your house would be the luk per amount that to be with a third of that. The third means a luk of oil. A shlish would be the third of a luk. That is the shear of the Mishnah. And when I says, how do you know? What do we get? When you look at the Mishnah, tells you it means social look of sauce. Olives normally in the Mishnah comes out as look. They bring a third. It's a third look, social look in the saw. Those that bring out a third look of the saw is the poorest quality zasim. That's the amount that is brought out, and a third of it. It would be brought out the lowest grade type of olive. That's the shear that the Mishnah says would be. So the Mishnah is talking about such a thing, and that's the amount of shear that a person would go ahead and have to bring out. Sha'osim b'gemar bishulon would be the final amashlushan. That would be the shear that would be considered enough that the Mishnah is telling you of the shlush. That's to explain what the Mishnah means when it says a third. It means a third on that of the lug would be the on the smallest, poorest type of zayas. That's the shear that would come out. So the Gemara says, yes. The Gemara says. The wants to know where do we see this from? Where do we see this halakha from? That that you can go it only when it reaches a certain level of ripeness. Where do we see it from? So the Mishnah Gemara discussed this yesterday referring to anavim, that we talked about the first two things that we had in the Mishnah yesterday on the first Mishnayos was the idea of both anavim. As well as in the Mishnah is discussing idea of Peiros HaElon and Anavim. So the Gemara wants to know what about Zaysim? Where do we see the halacha that there's certain levels of shiur and that it goes by Ksiv, Satan, the Pasik? It says in the Pasik, Lagabi the Din of Yovel, the Gemara says that the Yovel goes on the Lachem. Yovel should be considered for you for the Kodesh Lachem. Should we be Yod, writing it together? What does the Torah tell him? Aki Kodesh, like Yovel is holy, after was it? So too the Tevuah is holy, which means that you can't go ahead when something is normally eaten, and it has to be, when you see Yovel comes and we free all the lands and everything is done, Havadim go back and lands go back, it's the same halakha, the same idea as Yovel and Shviyas is the same halakha. And we refer to he, the same halakha, Tevuah is Kodesh. When do we say that Shmi is considered Kodesh? Just like by Shabbos, we say that it has to be the shear, the level, of the you can't waste it. So too Shviyas, so too by Yovel, the same halakha applies after Vusakosh. That's my fault to explain. Pakator says Tokos Tuvosa Makas Tvul Yovel. Just like by Yovel, this is Kodesh Tuvosa Lovel. Just like by Tuvosa Lovel, has to be when it's fully ripe. Tuvosa when it's considered it's full when it's ripe. not earlier than that. So too over here, it has to be where it's ripe. It's ripe to eat, and not there. And before that, it's not ready to eat. It's not ripe to eat. People don't eat it then. Then halakha would be excluded. That's the pasuk where you see excluded. It has to be tefuah, to be roi la'achol, to be considered kodesh, to be considered that you'd be able to go ahead and take it. So you see, the halakha would be that both yovel and kedusha has a certain level of kedusha, but shvius and yovel have a similar level of kedusha. So everyone wants to talk about the level of kedusha of the land. We see some stories about how much HaChachomim, HaTanoim, and HaMaroyim valued the kedusha of the land in Eretz Yisrael. V'yosi b'chanina menashrik l'kifos of Yaakov. When he came into Akko, he kissed the stones of Akko. And he said, Akko, he are the Israel, until here. Akko means until here is the border of Eretz Yisrael. It's the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. It goes to Akko, as the Gemara says in many places in Shas. And if we would kiss the stones and say, recognizing that this is the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So, Shlom Shal Akko, Seif Tzvon Shal Yisrael, says the Pnei Moshe. When he would come into Eretz Yisrael, from the north, there was the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael, Nashko said he would kiss them to show the chavivus that he had of Eretz Yisrael. They loved Eretz Yisrael. He kissed the stones of Eretz Yisrael. He kissed the borders of Eretz Yisrael. This is the northern border. So when he came in, he would kiss those stones because it valued the Kedusha of it. So it said he valued the Kedusha of the according to Pnei Moshe, he says a little bit more. Shugavul Yisrael, he manashid l'kipi sel Hashem. He was a large stone in the entrance. When he entered into Akko, there was a very large stone there, which marked the entrance of Eretz Yisrael. So he would kiss that large stone that showed the border of Eretz Yisrael how much he valued the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Where it says Rav Zeira over Yedudim Yomana. Rav Zeira crossed the Yad River while he's wearing his clothes. What do we mean he was wearing his clothes? He was wearing Mabushab, he's wearing his clothes. Says the Pnei Moshe, Lehilu b'mal echoz el marvus yad. He had no place to go to hold on to his clothes when he was crossing the yad. There was no place to go. There was no boat. There was nothing going across. So he took his begadim. He was so excited to go to Eretz Yisrael. He had no place to hold his clothes. He just took his and wore his clothes. And he wore his clothes and came into the water, into the Yardane, wearing his clothes because he wanted to get to come into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara said that he would, there was no boat, so in rushing to come through, he went in without taking off his clothes, he would go in. That's the way that Rashi Mislu explains he didn't want to dip his clothes into the mayim, so he went into the with his clothes on. It shouldn't be mezalza me'ayad, and shouldn't go ahead and like he's moving his clothes, like he didn't like the kedusha that he had for it. When it talks about a ma'isa, when the Gemara talks about Rav Zeira came in, there was a rope that was strung across the river. The Gemara talks about it, and he went ahead and he took over across the river, using his clothes to hold on to the rope. Says the Pnei Moshe, it was the Pnei Moshe says what he did was he didn't have anything to hold on to when he was crossing the Yardane, so he took the rope and he held it on the rope, took off his clothes and used it on the rope like to hold on to the string to be able to go ahead and cross the Yardane River without being washed. Without being forced to remove, the water would move him down. He would be able to cross the river in one spot, holding with the rope, holding up to his. That's the way the Pnei Moshe learns. The Ma'ariv Fudu learns. He actually went in with his clothes on. He didn't want to take his clothes off. He just went in the rush to go to come into the Yardane, which was coming into Eretz Yisrael. Kibarabba misagabade alisa de Tveria. Kibarabba rolled on the sands on Tveria. When it came to Tveria off the ship, he went and he rolled into the sands. It was in a place in Tveria when he came, Ma'agil, showing that he came to the border of Eretz Yisrael. He rolled in it because he loved the land of Eretz Yisrael. It was called, that was the name of the place, Elisa to Tveria. Ma'agil Atzma called the Chiva of Kedushas Haaretz. He rolled into the ground to roll himself in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. V'chia Rabba Maskil Kipe. Abchia the Great weighed the stones when he came into Eretz Yisrael. He'd weigh the stones to see to make sure that he was coming into Eretz Yisrael. And the reason he did that because the stones of Eretz Yisrael were larger and heavier than the other stones of Chutz Laaretz. So when he came, he weighed the stones to make sure that he's in Eretz Yisrael now, that he would be able to go ahead and have the big stones that came today now in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Hanan used to weigh the clumps of soil to see whether he was in Eretz Yisrael. The same idea would be that the Gusha Ofer, that he would, it would be wanted to also to see that the stone, some learned that it means that he was also to weigh to see that it was Gush Adam Shalah. Pnei Moshe says to see that the soil was weighed more than the stones and the dirt in other places in Chutzlots, and therefore he weighed them to see that it was valuable, that it was heavy, and if he knew it was a joke, then he kissed the soil, and he kissed the stones, that he realized now they were in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Fulda learns a little bit differently. He says what he did was, when they saw they were in Eretz Yisrael, go up with Pirushai Mesatkin, he used to go fix the, there were stones and gushes of chalofer and piles of dirt that was blocking the road, that was on the road, and he wanted to make it easy to walk. People shouldn't criticize Eretz Yisrael. That they walk in and say, look, there, it's not a, you have to walk on stones and on rocks and on clouds of clumps of soil. So he went and he smoothed them down so when the people can walk there, they'll realize they'll have appreciation of the walking in the evenness of the grounds of Eretz Yisrael. No one's going to fall and hurt themselves and trip over it. That's the way my father learns what they did. That's the Ivachinuksu Bavli Ikka. That's the go to the Gemara in Bavli. This is what they were doing, get the Shokavibis Haaretz. The Kaimash and Emma. As the Pusik says, these Amorim did this to show the love of Eretz Yisrael. As the Pusik says, a Pusik in Tehillim, Ki Ratzu Avadachas Avaneas Afar Yechaninu. Your servants cherished, they loved her stones and her dust, referring to, again, in Eretz Yisrael, that the Amorim that they referred to, the dust in the earth, we refer to them as well. Pnei Moshe says, Makai Meshe Dukwa Me'asev. The one that learns the Pusik, the beginning of the Pusik, these Rabbi Yechachamim did this, some Mokai in the first part of the Pasuk, and some only applied the last part of the Pasuk. Each way was to show the Chavivus of Eretz Yisrael, of what they did, of why they did this, and why they carried it in such a way to be able to go in to value each part of Eretz Yisrael that they valued so dearly.